many times do you want me to apologize?
Look, things happen. And how many times do I have to live through it?
Sarah just left me.
This is about Afghanistan.
No, I think it might be a bigger problem, an older problem.
You are about out of time.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
قرآن كويست يس بليز.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. آيات الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركة.
قرآن كويست، answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي.
آيات الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات، تحفظني من همزاتي الشيطان ومن زلاتي.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we study and examine the verses of the Quran with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's always nice to have you here.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always nice to be here.
Thank you. So we're on chapter Mary, chapter 19 of the Quran. And then we've been studying the verses of this chapter one by one. We've learned a lot from chapter Mary. And today we arrive on verse 81. Let's hear a few verses from verse 81 onwards, and then we'll be back for our discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة ليكونوا لهم عزا.
And they have taken besides Allah false deities, that they would be for them a source of honor.
كلا سيكفرون بعبادتهم ويكونون عليهم ضدا.
No, those gods will deny their worship of them and will be against them opponents on the Day of Judgment.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just heard verses 81 onwards from chapter 19 of the Holy Quran, and we have with us Sheikh Habib to discuss these verses. So on verse 81 and 82 it says, "And they have taken gods apart from God, that they might be a strength for them. Nay, but they will disavow their worship, and they will become an opponent unto them." So we were talking about the Kuffar, the polytheists, who first were very proud of having family and children and wealth, and God says that that won't help them. Now they're very hopeful in their false deities that they've created, the false gods that they worship. And again, here God is telling them that that's not going to help you either. So can you give us some explanation and context about these verses?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Of course, out of context, I was the other day, I didn't know you were going to ask me this question, to be honest, and in this manner. And the other day I was just reading about something. I was looking about the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and during the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, there's this Dar al-Nadwa, this place of assembly in Mecca, where only the chiefs, where only the big heads of Quraysh would sit down. No children, no women, nothing. Only the chiefs. They would not eat, they would not do anything to have fun. This was a place of gathering of great importance.
Just serious talks.
Yes, serious talks. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi gained strength, and that the started to gain strength in Mecca, because they were deprived very harshly by the Qurayshi tribe, all the Muslims, they sent the Muslims to Habasha, to Ethiopia, and the Prophet started to see that the Muslims were dying of poverty, they were dying from these, you know, harassments. So he made a deal with the people of Yathrib, current day Medina. When the Kuffar heard that, they assembled together and stated this: Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, is gathering and gaining power, and he will knock us off our thrones. So they were in fear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was going to knock them off their thrones.
Okay then, let's take a break there and let's see what happens next. They're very worried about losing their strength and power. Let's take a break and we'll be back for the rest of that very interesting story. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي وهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are studying verses 81 and 82 of the Quran, of chapter 19 of the Quran. So in these two verses, God is saying that even the false gods will not be able to help the disbelievers. And you narrated a story where there was this Dar al-Nadwa where there was only serious talk, and the Kuffar were worried that Prophet Muhammad would take them off their thrones. What happens next?
So that's the story that I wanted to emphasize on. That's the part I wanted to emphasize on, actually. The fact of the matter that they were in self-pride, they were heads, they were sitting on their thrones because of these false gods. The reason behind that goes back to the fact that the Arabs had their beliefs. At the end of the day, human beings do not separate themselves from spiritual aspects. It's way too hard for them to separate it from spiritual aspects. They have to believe in something. Thus, the Arabs at the time believed in God. They did believe in Allah. They did believe in that creator. Yet at the same time, they believed in idols. They believed in false idols. They believed in false gods. They used to come to Mecca where the tribe of Quraysh is, the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, to do the pilgrimage. And there are verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes the way and criticizes the way that they conducted their pilgrimages, where they used to clap their hands and whistle and they would be naked. And it was their own manner, their own custom, their own tradition. So Arabs, imagine this, Arabs from all over the land, a huge land, coming to Mecca to do the rituals. They would bring their gifts, they would bring their rewards, they would bring money, they would bring sacrifices. They would all give it to whom? The people of Mecca. Why? Because their false gods are there. The house of Abraham is there. They are used to doing pilgrimage, going to that part. Arab tribes will not harm Quraysh. Why? Because they were the people in charge of Mecca.
They were the protectors of Mecca and its idols.
So imagine that. I'm trying to show their side of the story to understand why they clinge to such false beliefs, and even though they know that it's false beliefs. Why? Because the world is underneath them.
And Muhammad is coming to ruin all the whole fabric of their
exactly,
of their order.
Exactly. So you see here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, they have taken besides Allah false gods, so they might be a source of sufficiency for them, a source of means for them, a source of pride, a source of power, a source of throne, a source of government for them. They're using false gods in the name of Allah to do what? To gain their power, to gain their desires, to fulfill their lusts and desires. So here, that is the reason why they cling on to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to this, سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدَّ. They will soon become enemies with what they were worshipping. Why? When they see the hellfire, when they see the result and the consequences of not following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not following the true reality. And this also goes back to the connection between religion and having a true government. When you do not have an infallible figure ruling the government with divine laws, everything will be corrupt. Why? Because human beings have this, you know, intention towards desires, have this
inclination
towards their lusts and desires and fulfilling it. Thus, they will make their own laws. They also have their own fears. Some people make laws because they fear that this person is not going to give me money. They fear this person is going to kill me. And there are a lot of stories about it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes on this and rebukes and criticizes their actions. How does he criticize it? This is also a nice thing to keep in mind. The manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes is that showing the consequences of action, revealing the consequences of their actions, is a manner of criticizing and rebuking their actions.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to take a break there, but we'll be back to continue the discussion after the break. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verses 81 and 82 of chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary. So God is saying that the gods that you worship and you've attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not benefit you, and they will become each other's enemies. So I'm guessing that the gods will reject their worshippers, and the worshippers will also reject God, their gods. That's how chaotic everything is over there. But they did essentially believe in Allah. My first question is that would that help them in any way?
That's not enough. When various verses, we've talked about it. There are various conditions to believing Allah. And Allah can't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then believe that he has a child or he has a son, in the meaning that we will talk about inshallah ta'ala in a couple of more episodes to come.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that inshallah ta'ala. There are you cannot believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and state this and that and then have this and do that and become against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, their true worship was their worship of their own selves. I have this firm belief that it's illustrated, it's manifested in them worshiping their ilah, their idols, their gods. But at the end of the day, the reality of this worship, with their knowledge, its errors, reality is that they are worshiping their own desires. The only reason that they're doing prostration to this piece of wood, to this piece of stone, is because it is feeding them. It is giving them women. It is giving them money. It is giving them children. It is giving them power. So that's the only reason they're prostrating. They're prostrating not to the stone in reality. They're prostrating to their own lusts, their own desires.
That kind of touches on the next question, the final question I want to ask for this program. And that is that, well, a lot of people who will be listening to this program will not be polytheists and probably won't meet polytheists. But what is the message that they should take home from this? And I guess you kind of answered that. Your own desires.
Your own desires is your enemy. We have this in the holy month of Ramadan. I've been asked this by my child, actually, who doesn't fast. He told me, why do people still do not fast between two
parentheses,
sin, even though you guys state that the shaitan cannot come and, you know, and tell us to do this and to do that?
He's pretty young. That's a sophisticated question for that age.
The answer to that actually is, as I told him, we have desires as well. Sometimes we follow our desires. The shaitan doesn't always have to be available for us to fall into sins. Sometimes we listen to our own desires and follow our desires and fall into our desires.
I guess the take-home message is we should be careful about where we deny the truth and have something as a facade there just because it protects our own interests. Thank you very much, Brother Habib, for your time. It's always a joy talking with you and we learn a lot. If you miss our program, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous episodes from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week and a lot of studying the Quran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From a grey and gloomy look to a cheery and colourful appearance. That's the story of how a neighbourhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing colour and joy to this hilly neighbourhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with all the neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth named Terry was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but The zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mazer X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to 4 cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The 4 were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for 2 reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Here's what you can call killing 2 birds with 1 stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbuk Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
Workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back 2 millennia. Archaeologists have recovered 6 bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often, it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know, because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg, who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats. But here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershey, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks. But here, it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilus director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in park arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach a million.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality. Back to
it's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you all. I warmly welcome you all to the show, Back to Reality, only on IRIB English Radio. Over here, we discuss few interesting topics which we can relate to our daily life. And I'm your host, Hassanain, and today we have got two special guests with us, Sayyid Muhsin Naqvi and Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. Salaamu alaykum, brothers.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
It's our pleasure. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
And salaamu alaykum, brother.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
How are you, brother?
As-salaam wa lillahi alhamd.
Can you please introduce where are you guys from?
Well, I'm from Pakistan, and I'm studying here for the last 10 years.
MashaAllah. And you, brother?
I'm from Australia, but originally my parents are Arabs, so alhamdulillah, I got the blood in me. And I'm almost 8 years in the seminary of Qom as well.
Inshallah, may Allah help you all to reach your goals.
Inshallah.
So today we want to talk about, like, here we're living in Qom. It's a holy city. It's a religious city and it's a spiritual city. Being spiritual or being religious?
Religion is the main theme, we can say, like the main idea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Islam as a religion. Within Islam, we have different things and different parts that completes religion or Islam to be the religion. Spirituality is one of them. Well, when we generally talk about spirituality in the Western sense or the material sense, it means that, for example, like you reach to inner peace. That's what spirituality is. Being religious means like you obey the teachings of a religion and you believe in a religion that you follow. So this is worldly definition. But when we come to the Islam, the definition changes. In the Islam, I said like the main theme or the main thing is religion itself. And within religion, we have spirituality.
Like the Sayyid said, I just want to add more to the what the Sayyid said. Now, in the mindset of people, when you said, when you say to them religion and spirituality, obviously they're two different things, because we take spirituality to be mysticism and being a mystic. Obviously, being a mystic, you're not just an average religious person. I could be a very religious person applying the laws of Allah to the teeth. That doesn't make me a mystic, doesn't make me a arif, as we say. Now, so religion itself, applying religion and being that state of piety, taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would increase your nearness to Him by opening doors to you that they are not available to others. And as you move on that path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal more and more until you can see how the creation works, for example.
Do you think we need more spiritual people? Like we already having like religious people like who are basically abiding to the all the wajibat. So do you think we need more spirituality?
Do we need more spiritual people? And I look that being spiritual itself is a personal choice. I don't need a spiritual person as much as I need a merger, right? I need a scholar who can tell me halal from haram, he can tell me the laws. That's a requirement. That's needed. If we have no maraja, then it becomes a wajib. I need that each one of us must go to house and study, which is going to be a disaster. So we need maraja, we need scholars to tell us halal from haram. Yes. Do we need mystics? No, we don't. If they are there, that's good and well, right? Because the personal, if I want to be a mystic, I'm not trying to be a mystic so I can guide other people. I want to be a mystic so I can guide the humanity. That's not part of the job. That's just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even mystics themselves, they never acclaimed that they are mystics. They never acclaimed that they are arafa. People gave them that title because of their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We called them arafa. They themselves, we will never find the arif, I am an arif. He would never say that, right? That goes against upon itself.
Mysticism.
So, but we gave them that title because we saw how close to Allah they are.
So,
can I just add one thing before another question from the brother? You know, when you say, like, do we need more spiritual people or the religious people? Every single one of us, every single one of us can be the spiritual person. But there are some hurdles that stops us from seeing some things. For example, Ayatollah Bajad has a famous saying, and it was from Ayatollah Qazi, basically. He said, if you pray your five-time prayers on time, and this is another hassle that we need to explain, what does this on time means? If you pray, you will see in near future there is a rank for you. You can see, basically, spiritually, you can cite the ranks that you have. The things that are the hurdle that we have in getting spiritual or becoming spiritual, because every religious person is a spiritual person. Yeah, there is no other view about it. But there are some hurdles that stops us from seeing our spiritual rank, and that is the sins. These are our sins that we perform, our actions, or the actions that we have, wrong actions that we have. It stops us from seeing our, you know, ranks that we have, or the spiritual level that we are at. You know, at the time of the Prophet, was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the highest peak of spirituality or not?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He was definitely. But even in his time, we can see there were many people around him who could see him, but they never realized the spiritual level of the Prophet.
Yeah.
It wasn't because the Prophet wasn't spiritual. It was because of their own actions.
Now, like, some people used to see him as a normal human being. Yeah. And some people used to see him as being a prophet of Allah.
So these two people, where's the difference? It's in the actions.
Let's stop here. Inshallah, we continue after a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
And welcome to Back to Reality with my special guest, where we are talking about being spiritual and being religious. One question I wanted to ask, like, you know, from the side of our listeners and just normal people, that, you know, these kind of claims that, you know, pray on time, you get this. Like, you know, people ask that we're acting upon this, but we don't see any difference. Like, what do you have to tell them?
That's the main thing. Like, what do you think? What is on time? Yeah. So if you're praying on time and you pray 5-time prayers, you will definitely see. Obviously, these are not something that it has been just said. They have experienced it. But on the other side, let me just give you an example. You know, the Prophet was telling to his companions that if someone says Subhanallah, Allah will make a tree in the paradise for him, yeah, and a tree will grow on his name. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, one of the companions in his study said, "If this is the case, then I have many gardens of the trees." And then Prophet said, "Like, be careful that you do not burn your trees with your actions."
Allah,
you know, that's the main thing. We pray on time, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, but we might also need to.
But on the other hand, you need to be careful.
Also, to add to what the sage said, now, what your question is that I do pray on time, but I don't see anything. See, a lot of people assume that when they get this advice from the Arafah, they say, well, I pray on time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should show me the celestials and should show me the heavens. That's not what happens. Yeah. So if you pray on time, that's, you know, if you constantly pray on time, mm-hmm. and you maintain that prayer on time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might increase your rizq, might make your children better, might increase your knowledge, might do something that you don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
But 100% there's an effect to that. The effect takes different forms, but not straight away because, oh, I'm going to pray on time. Sayyid Qadi said, spit on my face if you don't see anything, and I'm not seeing anything. So you're not seeing anything because you're expecting something way higher. You're expecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open your eyes and make you see the world. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But He will make it what? He will make a show in your life. Your action might change. The people around you might change. Your kids might change. Your health and your wealth might change. And all this become better because you're praying on time.
I want to just add on what Brother Sayyid has said, Sayyid Musavi, generally we do not realize what blessings Allah has given to us, and that's the main issue.
Uh-huh.
You know, as brother has said, maybe Allah has increased your sustenance risk. Mm-hmm. Maybe He has given you the favor in another, you know, way of your life. Maybe you were in trouble, He has taken you out of that trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The issues that you have in your life. The point is, we are not realizing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main issue that we have. For example, if someone is thinking of, as brother has said, like, I will see, I don't know, the status in the barzakh and the maqam and all those things, where Allah is giving him from somewhere else, He is giving him a blessing, or He has opened His eyes, another door for him. he does not have intention towards, or he's not looking at that way where Allah wants him to see. So that's another issue, that when we do something, we should keep our minds open, eyes open, to see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us and from where is he helping. And that is very important, because the Urafa who have reached to that level, they can clearly see, even for a single thing, like the thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one more thing, obviously, we think like Allah will give more sustenance by just asking him. Yeah? Asking is important. But on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're thankful to me, I will increase in your sustenance. I will give you more. Yeah, izdiyad is there, obviously, giving more, or like increasing the amount. So this increase of amount in result of the thank, we never, you know, notice these things. And that's our issue, basically. Same is the case with the spirituality, that in the spirituality, if someone is practicing something, the point is, can he notice the changes in his life or not? You know, one of the changes is, for example, he never, he never brings his hand, or he never begs from anyone. This is one of the blessings, that if in his life he never had this time to beg from someone, or to get loan or ask for some help from someone, and Allah is always helping him, he should notice this. He should notice, for example, he thinks of something to achieve something, and later he achieves that. Who made this possible? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the things that we are lacking in our life when we talk about this spirituality.
Dear listeners, it's a good time for having a second break, so we'll be right back shortly.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Brother Saif, what do you think about imagining belief in our heart without any sign in action?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always in the Quran, if you look at it from the front to the end, he always says alladhina amanu amilus salihat. He never says alladhina amanu by itself or amilus salihat, but there's always a combination. Your a'mal are the fruits of your belief.
Okay.
So how good your belief is, how much your amal is. But there are those who have belief, but there is no action, then there's no point in that belief. So what's the point of me believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but not praying? That goes against my belief. So a lot of people have beliefs, but in terms of action, they don't. So Allah says always, yes, you begin with belief, but your belief has to manifest itself. It has to show on your a'mal. So what's the point of me knowing things, but I don't apply them? I remember one of the ulama, he said, we need to study Usuluddin backwards. We need to study Usuluddin from Qiyamah all the way to Tawheed. Why? Because I believe in Qiyamah. Okay. All of us believe in Qiyamah. All of us believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us one day. And he will show us a video of what we did.
Yeah.
We have, no one denies that. So why am I sinning then? Why am I, me and you are sinning? If we have such a 100% belief, Allah one day will put me to the stand and will ask me. Which means what? Which means there's a lack in reality, that's what it is. We have a lack in our belief when it comes to, information-wise, I'm certain of Qiyamah. In belief-wise, I don't believe in it. Because if I really truly believe in it, I shouldn't be sinning.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we believe in it, we believe in the sins and its outcomes, but still, again, we are not acting upon it.
Yeah, so not acting upon is a problem. So you can, if you have the belief, now it's time for you to act. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being very sensitive about this issue. He says, لا تقولوا آمنا بل قولوا أسلمنا. Do not say, we believe. Say you're a Muslim. You've done the shahada, you're a Muslim. But in order for you to be a believer, that requires action.
So thank you so much, brothers. That's all the time we have for today. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to get closer to him. And with that being said, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, ya Rabb al-alamin, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, ya Rabbi, let the ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
ya Rabb al-alamin, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, ya Rabbi,
ربي التي ما رايزك لتصي دليلتك وانسك.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Agha Mujtaba Tahrani.
Hmm.
اگر شخصی در پشت سر برادر مؤمنش برای او دعا کنه، نودی من العرش.
If a person recites a dua, a supplication for his believing brother, when not present, there will be a call from the divine realm of Allah, not by an angel, but by Allah Himself, who is the creator of the angels. In that call from the divine realm of Allah, it is stated that your reward for such action will be multiplied 100,000 times.
وَإِذَا دَعَى لِنَفْسِهِ كَانَتْ لَهُ وَاحِدَةً.
Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam in a tradition states, if the mentioned Muslim recited the dua, the supplication, only for himself and not behind his believing brother, then the reward will be counted as only one. Now you tell me, which one is better? 100,000 times guaranteed or only one? And a question comes up, that which one? He wouldn't know for certain whether he will be granted that one reward or not. If I have recited the dua only for myself, I would get one reward, and still I would not be sure about that one reward being granted or not. Now, which one is better? 100,000 times reward, which is guaranteed by Allah Himself, or the one which is not even guaranteed?
پشتبانش خداست و ضمانت کرده بالاتر است یا یکی که معلوم نیست به هدف اجابت برسد کدوم؟
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, where we listen to a speech by Ayatollah Agha Mujtaba Tehrani. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salamullah found in the book As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyya. Supplication number 8, verse number 1, vice or